song of invitation. If you will, please mark number 687.
Scripture reading this evening is taken from the book of Genesis, two verses, Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, and Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing."
What a day, what an occasion. This morning, I had the privilege of speaking at Madison Street Church in Clarksville, where I labored back in the late 60s and early 70s in their homecoming, their 80th year of existence. We had 807 people, the biggest attendance that's ever assembled on Sunday morning, as far as we know, in the Clarksville area to worship God. Our worship service, the time that I was to speak and present the lesson, began at 10:30. The meal was advertised as noon. I stepped to the microphone at 18 minutes till 12. One of the best ways to ensure that there is a short sermon is to have a meal planned not long after the preacher begins. 17 minutes later, we stood for the invitation song. And you wouldn't want me to preach any longer tonight than I did this morning, would you? I thought I would get some amens. Give me your mind for just a few minutes, and I'll try to carry out what I have just suggested. The theme of Horizons this week is glorifying the name of Jesus. And although many of us as adults will not be involved in that, I want to center our thoughts this evening around that theme. I am convinced that if we're going to glorify the name of Jesus, we must be concerned about the name that each of us wears. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Is not that verse saying that if I'm going to glorify the name of God and the name of Jesus, I must be concerned about my life, I must be concerned about the name that I have as I live day by day? I submit to you that Jesus had that attitude, and in that famous prayer of John 17, he said, "I've come to glorify my Father." And in that same setting, he said the way he had done that was that he had finished the work which his Father had sent him to do. Is not Jesus saying there that the way he glorified his Father was by the way he lived? The kind of light that he had, the kind of life that he lived, and the way he showed himself to other people, is not that the way he glorified the name of his Father? I'm convinced that it is. And so I want you to think with me for just a moment, not about the person who's sitting to your right or to your left, in front of you or behind you, but I want you to think with me for just a moment about your name. I would guess that sometime before this evening is over, most of you will have a little name tag that has something on it that is attached to your clothing in some way. And tomorrow, even tonight, as we get together and begin the Christian training series, probably all of us will have a name tag. And there will be a name on that tag, and that name is going to be important. And I'll guarantee you that it's more important to you than to anybody else. It may be that it's somewhat like the preacher who asked his wife, "Do you know how many great preachers there are?" And she said, "I don't know, but one fewer than you think." And if we're not careful, each one of us will be thinking about his own name and the importance of his name. You see, I just enjoy putting that little symbol on a name tag that says B flat, because I can wear that and it means something to me whether it does to you or not. My name is important. The name that I wear is important. But how I arrive at that name and how I arrive at the names that I use from time to time is also important. Did you notice the difference in the way the word name is used in the two verses that David Powell read a moment ago? The first verse he read is from the setting of the building of the Tower of Babel. And the people themselves got together and began to look at themselves, and they said, "Let's build us a tower, and let's make us a way to heaven, and let's make us a name for ourselves. Let's make us a name for ourselves by what we're doing." In contrast, God said, as he spoke to Abraham in the very next chapter, "I will make of thee a great name. I will make a name for you, Abraham. If you will follow me, if you will do what I'm asking you to do, I'll bless the entire population through thee, through thy seeds going to come the Savior, and I will make thy name great." Notice the difference. In one case, the people said, "We'll make us a name." In the other case, God said, "I'll make you a name," and there's all the difference in the world. What would be on my name tag tonight and on yours if we made our names for ourselves separate and apart from God? And we were more interested in trying to pick ourselves up and build our own towers and reach into heaven by our own accomplishments instead of having the kind of faith in God that we ought to have. What kind of name should we really put on that name tag and wear? Whereas, on the other hand, if we submit ourselves to God and to Jesus and love Him and serve Him and follow Him and let God give us the name that is appropriate, what kind of name would be on the name tag? I submit to you that there's a great deal of difference in what is suggested in those two passages. Names are interesting. There is a name that I wear tonight that became my name at the point of conception. I became a flat at the point of conception. I'm convinced that in the sight of God, my life began there. I had nothing to do with it. I had no control over it. I had no decision to make. But the fact that a certain man and a certain woman fell in love, were married, and with God's blessings were able to conceive and bring a boy child into the setting of the flat home, flat became my name, really, at the point of conception. At the point of birth, perhaps sometime before that, the decision was made. But at the point of birth, my name became Ben, named after my great-grandfather. And my middle name, some of you have been wondering what that S stands for. With my friends, it stands for smart, and with my enemies, silly. But in reality, it stands for Sydney, after my grandfather on the other side. I had no choice over either one of those names. I've never wanted to change them, like the fellow who went to the authorities and said, "Do you think I could change my name?" And they said, "Well, if there's enough reason, you sure you want to change? What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Charlie Stinks." And he said, "Well, I can sort of understand. What do you want to change it to?" And he said, "I've always wanted to be called Joe." Now, if we were to change our names, that might be what some of us would do. I did not name myself Flat. I did not name myself Ben. I did not name myself Sydney. But when I wear those names, I say something. And even though I don't wear it around my neck and seldom wear it where it can be seen, the people who know me know my dad and my mother and my family. And the way I live has something to do with that name. During the time that I was a child, as you, I had some nicknames. If you wore the nickname tonight, that's been given to you probably because of some characteristic physically or action that you have done, what name would you wear? I was always called Shorty. Never could understand why. Oh, it's been probably the nickname that stuck with me, and now that I'm getting to be more of an outstanding preacher, I'm called Slim. What nickname would you wear if you were given a nickname? But now a bit more serious, what name do you wear tonight spiritually? Most of us that are in this building tonight have been given a name, like the disciples who were called Christians first at Antioch. Like the name that's used to describe the person who's willing to suffer for Jesus, as Peter gives the account of suffering as a Christian. And like the name that Agrippa used, that prompts the song, almost persuaded to be a Christian. And most of you young people that are here tonight who are involved in Horizons have already been baptized into Jesus Christ. You have been added to the church, Acts 2:41 through 47. And when that happened, you were given a name that includes the name of Christ, which Paul says is a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. What a name. And when you and I take that name and we accept it and we're serious about it, and we live in such a way that no one has to look at a sign around our necks to see that we are Christians, but they see Christ in us, that's that light shining of Matthew 5 that says, in doing this we glorify Him and we glorify His name. And I humbly suggest to you tonight that there is no possible way that you can truly glorify the name of Jesus until you rightfully, willfully, and joyfully wear His name. To where you cannot mention what you are religiously without mentioning Christ. That's how we glorify His name. And that's the name that you and I need to wear. But let me go one step further. And I think this point is important. Suppose at the end of this week, at the end of the Horizons group meetings, Christian training series, for those of us who may not be involved in either one, but are involved in life and the Christian life, if our friends were to decide to give us a name tag, what would be on it? And if God were to give us a name tag that describes what we've done during this week of Horizons and Christian Training Series, this week that's a wonderful week here in this area, if God were to give me and you a name tag, what would be on it? Would it be Barnabas, the son of consolation, the one who has extended care and concern and comfort to those who are around him, is willing to use what he has to serve others? Would it be Dorcas or Tabitha? A young lady who's willing to use whatever her talents are in such a way that others talk about what she's doing in a positive way and the influence that she has? Would it perhaps be a Eunice or a Jochebed or a Mary? Or a Peter whose name was given to him because he was a rock. And even though he had some other problems, who really would stand for Jesus when all the chips were down? Or maybe an Abraham or a Sarah or an Israel whose names were changed by our Heavenly Father himself to say something through the name as to what they were and what their characteristics were? Or might it be a Demas or a John Mark or maybe in extreme cases a Jezebel, whose actions are such that a name tag is given that suggests that this person's life is just the opposite of Jesus, just the opposite of Peter the Rock, just the opposite of Hannah and Jochebed and Eunice and Mary and Elizabeth and all those great women and Rebecca as a young lady who set forth that great example? What kind of name tag would be given to you at the end of this week by your friends and by your God? I would pray that every young lady who's in this audience will end this week in a way that she could proudly be given the name of Rebecca. A young woman who was so beautiful and so pure that when she was given to her husband to be his wife, it made him forget the grief of having lost his mother. And I would hope that every young man that's involved in this program this week could leave at the end of it and there could be a name placed there with the word Joseph on it, who lost his coat the second time to keep his honor and his right relationship to God. And then one step further, consider what name will be given to you at the end of this world. It's important, I think, to consider what name you can rightfully wear at the end of this week. But when we all face God in the day of judgment, who has the right to enter the name into the book, Acts 2:41 and 47, and to take that name out of the book, Revelation 3:5, and to keep a record of every name in the book, Revelation 20. Will God be able to give you the name of faithful or unfaithful? Enter into the joys of the Lord, thou faithful servant. Cast him out, thou unfaithful servant. What name tag are you wearing tonight? And what name tag can rightfully be given to you at the end of this week? And what name tag will be given to you at the day of judgment by the Almighty Himself? There is no name that is more important to you tonight, at the end of this week, at the end of time, than the name Christian. Because if you can rightfully wear that name today and tomorrow and through this week and through this life, there is no doubt what the end result will be. You see why we want you to be Christians? You see why we want you to come back home if you've not lived as a Christian should? What name tag do you have? If you are not wearing the name tag of Christian, how can you glorify the name of Jesus? The simple answer is by coming to Him as together we stand and sing.